Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to a special edition of the Maize and Brew podcast, maizebrew.com. We're being joined by Michigan center Hunter Dickinson. And Hunter, I want you to tell me a little bit just off the gates. Welcome in. And also, I want you to tell me a little bit about your partnership with Whistle and the Put You On video that you did with them.
The partnership with Whistle was something that they contacted me early in the fall. I think it was in August, maybe. They wanted to come and shoot, you know, a day in the life with me. And so, you know, I thought it was something that was really cool and interesting. And so I definitely accepted it. And I think, you know, the day was pretty fun. I thought it was something that was different for me and something that I enjoy doing. And I thought it came out pretty cool.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And you got to show off some really cool parts of Ann Arbor that maybe not a lot of people know about, Hunter.
Yeah, you know, I think some restaurants that I went to, you know, the cookie place, Detroit Cookie Company. You know, I think those were some spots that I really enjoy going to. And, you know, I was able to, I guess, show the rest of the, you know, the world about them.
Yeah. And Ann Arbor always known as this big college town and all this stuff, but it was cool to kind of see all the different intricacies that you've been able to find in your time there. Some really cool stuff. Wanted to go to last night's win against Maryland a little bit here. And it seems like maybe, Hunter, you got a little bit of juice playing your, I guess, hometown, quote unquote, team. Tell me a little bit of just that extra energy you get playing the Terps.
I think, you know, it was just me, you know, getting my first game back from having COVID. And so, you know, I was excited to get out there and play with my teammates again. You know, I was really disappointed not being able to play against Illinois with them. So for me, I was just really excited to get back out there with my team and, you know, get back in the win column.
Yeah, and you certainly had an impact. 21 points, 6 boards, 6 assists last night. You brought up the Illinois game. That's where I wanted to go with my next question here. Because that was a huge rivalry last season. I think a lot of people thought the two of you were the best teams in the Big Ten. You certainly finished that way. And then they had all that Big Ten champ disrespect. And then you missed the game, unfortunately, because of COVID, as you said. And I guess, how did you feel? How much did missing that game affect you, especially with that matchup you missed with Kofi Coburn, one of the best centers along with you in college basketball?
Yeah, it was definitely disheartening to miss that game. That was a game that I definitely looked forward to playing in. You know, just being in that environment would have been really fun for me. And then to be able to play a good team like Illinois that, you know, is at the top of the Big Ten right now. I think they're 6-1. And so they're having a really good season. To be able to play them would have been really fun for me. And I feel like, you know, I would have been able to help the team hopefully. Next time when we play them, you know, I'll be able to be back and hopefully it'll be a different result.
Do you think a little bit of that juice from last year rolled over in the matchup against Illinois or do you think it was missed because you guys weren't fully healthy?
I think, you know, it's a new year and a new team. new teams. So I think, you know, it was a little bit different up there this year.
Okay, gotcha. So I think a lot of NBA scouts just in general were looking forward to that game. Unfortunately, with you missing, maybe it didn't have as much hype as what a lot of people had thought. And I know you tested those waters a little bit last season after the end of the year. We've seen a little bit more from your right hand, a little bit more shooting range from you throughout the course of this season. Are those some things that the NBA scouts wanted to see from you? And what else in your own game are you focusing on this season?
Yeah, the right hand and the extending my shooting were two things that were talked about a lot by the NBA scouts and NBA people in general. So those are two things that I really worked on this summer. And I really try to make those, I guess, weaknesses that they said, you know, into strengths. And so for me, I put in a lot of work this summer and I feel like it's paying off out there this year.
Yeah, I can definitely tell. I believe you've hit a couple three-pointers. It's always a lot of fun when you see a seven-footer like you hitting the shots from deep. It's always enjoyable. And I know that's not really the type of player Juwan Howard was back in his day, more kind of in the post. How much has your coach kind of helped you out with the moves on the inside? Because we've seen some of that development with other bigs, as well as you, with some of those post moves that Howard kind of perfected throughout his 15-year career in the NBA. And now on top of that, being a coach in the NBA and now at Michigan with you.
Yeah, he does a really good job of, you know, developing his players. We do a lot of skill development as bigs. Me and him have, you know, our individual workouts where we really slow down things and really just try to perfect, you know, like my craft even more. And so I really enjoy having him, you know, not only as a coach, but as, you know, a player development guy, spending so much time with me. He really cares about his players and he's really invested in getting them better each and every day.
Talking with Hunter Dickinson here on the Amazing Brew Podcast, a special edition with Dan Plucker. I wanted to ask about some of those freshmen that he brought in this year. His first full cycle as a coach, bringing in Musa, Caleb, Frankie, and Kobe Bufkin as well, all of them getting pretty significant playing time off the bat. How difficult has that transition been to a younger group this year after losing a veteran-led team last year with Sean D. Franz, Isaiah Livers, and Mike Smith departing to the NBA?
Yeah, it's definitely different having them leave us, you know, to go on to bigger and better things, you know, the NBA. I'm happy for those guys. It's definitely an adjustment, you know, playing with, you know, a much younger team this year, but I think it's been, you know, a growing part of my game is, you know, trying to be more of a leader for this team and trying to just help the younger guys and, you know, do what players last year did for me to show me the ropes of college basketball and, you know, the Michigan culture, trying to just get these guys to buy into, you know, the teachings of the coaching staff and just showing them what Michigan is all about.
So off the court then, kind of what you were just describing, who do you think those guys are, the team outside of you? Obviously, you playing that impact. I'm thinking Eli Brooks is probably in that conversation too. Is there anybody else there?
What do you mean?
The leadership side of things.
Yeah, obviously it starts with Eli. He's our team captain. And so for us, he's definitely the guy that we all look up to. I'm trying to help him out in that role, not have him have so much pressure of, you know, trying to lead an entire team by himself. Devontae Jones is another guy who, even though this is his first year, he's the point guard of the team, and he's obviously a very experienced and very skilled player who knows what to do out there. So that's another guy that the younger guys lead to. Terrence Williams is another guy who coach points to for leadership. He's a guy that knows a lot about the game, has a high basketball IQ that does a lot of things correctly. So he's a guy that younger guys can look to for, you know, guidance and what to do out there.
I want to talk a little bit about football here, Hunter, just because I saw you tweeting a bunch during the regular season. I mean, you, credit to you, you predicted the win over Ohio State this season. Then you said you might even line up at tight end if Harbaugh needed you. What was it like to be a student athlete in that environment this year, beating Ohio State, winning the Big Ten championship, and then getting to the playoffs itself?
Yeah, I don't think I get enough credit for calling that Ohio State win. I feel like people just glance over that one. But it was super fun for me to be out there, just, you know, rooting on the Michigan football team. It was a great season. It was definitely a special season for those guys, and I'm really happy for, you know, the work that, you know, they put in. Really excited for Coach Harbaugh and his success. He definitely deserved it and earned it. And I'm just excited for, you know, what the future holds, because I think the future is really bright for that team.
Yeah, so with that great season, like the bright future that you're having, they have exactly what you were kind of bringing in there. And that fun, that atmosphere that the students were feeling all year round, do you think that brings a little bit of motivation or pressure on you guys to keep that momentum rolling?
I don't think there's any pressure from, you know, I think there's already just built-in pressure of every year, you know, maintaining the success that Michigan basketball has had over the years. I think that's enough for us, you know, just enough, I guess, pressure. I don't think it's pressure. I think it's just, you know, us playing to our capabilities. But I think, you know, just the basketball, Michigan basketball success in the past couple of years is enough for us.
For sure. So I saw, speaking of tweets and the tweets that we've seen kind of across the board from you, I also saw your tweet just about an hour ago about the 4 games policy for redshirting in football, but it just got shot down by the NCAA for basketball in a COVID year. Can you elaborate your thoughts on that decision and just everything that's happening there?
Yeah, I wasn't too sure about the rule beforehand with the redshirting with basketball. But then I learned about the football redshirting last year, that you're able to play 4 games and still be able to redshirt. But with basketball, it's I'm not sure how many it is, but it's either 1 or 2. And I think, you know, it's just not. I don't see the reasoning for that, especially in a COVID year where teams are playing with 7 players. I don't understand why you shouldn't be able to, you know, be able to put in a redshirt guy who, you know, we'll have to burn a whole year of eligibility for just playing 1 or 2 extra games. I don't think, you know, that's fair to the university or the players or the coaches that are put in, you know, those difficult circumstances of having to play games with, you know, limited players, especially when a football player can go and play 4 regular season games out of 12 and then still be able to redshirt. Doesn't make sense to me when basketball players aren't able to, you know, play 4 games out of 30 games, especially in a year where there's teams playing with very limited players out there.
Right. And then you were one of those teams, Hunter, with all the COVID issues that were going on, at least presumably in your own locker room. How much do you think if that rule had been implemented, would it have affected you guys personally?
I think it definitely would have affected us. We have 2 guys that are planning on redshirting. And so, for us, I think, you know, being able to have those guys be out there on the floor would have helped us in the Rutgers game, especially since we were missing some guys. But, you know, that's something that all teams had to deal with. And so we can't really make excuses for that, because that's something that a lot of teams around the country, probably every team around the country, is going to have to deal with at some point during the season.
Sure. 2 more questions for you here. Hunter Dickinson joining Dan Plucker on a special edition of the Maize and Brew podcast. So you got your first you got your first win in a month against Maryland, off to a 9-8 start. How do the Michigan Wolverines get back on track and become a threat in the NCAA tournament this season?
I think yesterday was a really good step in that direction. I think, you know, I saw a lot of good things out there from my teammates, a lot of things that we can build on. For the games coming up, we got a stretch of games that I feel like are really important for us, that are almost must wins at this point for us, and that, you know, we're going to come in with, you know, a lot of, I guess, you know, not pressure, but a lot of, you know, urgency to try to win those games and get back on track for the rest of the season.
All right, so I saw you're on Cameo on your Twitter page. You also have the Big Dickinson Energy merch out. What else are you doing for NILs, and where can people find some of your stuff?
I got a couple deals with some local companies around here, one of them being the Jagged Fork. It's a breakfast place down near downtown Ann Arbor that I really enjoy going to, or go at least once a week, usually like twice a week. That's a spot that's really good, I feel like, in a place that I really enjoy going to. And, you know, the people that work there and the owner is really good guys. So I really appreciate them. I got a couple other deals that are coming very soon. I got one with Topps, the card company, mm-hmm. and then two other deals that are will be announced soon. I think it's really been fun for me for NLI or NIL. I mean, so for me, it's something that's been really fun, especially since last year we weren't able to do it. For merchandise, the Big Tickets and Energy has been a fun brand for me to do. It's on the Players Trunk. They have an Instagram, Twitter, and then you can just type it in on Google. I got some stuff there, some autograph stuff that you can buy. It's been super fun for me to do just to, you know, have my own brand and have people, you know, wear your logo on shirts and stuff. Has been really fun for me.
Check out the video on Whistles Put You On with Hunter Dickinson on their YouTube page or on MasonBrew.com, where the article will be posted as well with this podcast on it. Hunter, really appreciate a couple minutes here. Best of luck the rest of the season and go Blue.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Go Blue.